you'll get to know me. And if you've been here a while, well, good to see you again. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We miss Brother Wells, his family, as always. And I know you do. You've got a great pastor. And right. Praise the Lord. We don't begrudge his trip down south. It's a long way from Florida to here. And they've handled winter pretty well. As I've monitored, as we all have on Facebook. Thank God for Facebook. We kind of know what's happening and everything. But, you know, they've done well with the winter and enjoyed it. And my wife said that was the first time she ever, of course, we'd only been married 6 months or so, but maybe a year. And she said that was the first time I had ever asked to take out the trash. Was when it started snowing, and I went out to play because I was a Louisiana boy, and we didn't get much snow there either, and so we enjoyed that. But it's good to see you again. I am glad my wife is here. Praise God. That's right. The last time I was here, I was very glad that the Kellums hadn't decided to go on vacation either.
I was so sick.
As he filled in and everyone and did a great job. Thank you so much for that. It helped. But so this morning when I woke, I said, "Now, Lord, you know I need my wife to be well today. Don't let her eat anything at the last minute. Keep her, God, because I need her to be willing and ready to go." So she was here. So we're glad for that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, read from a couple of familiar passages, but this first one I want to just talk to you about. Praise the Lord. It's found in Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke 4, we're going to begin in verse 16. "And he," this being Jesus, "came to Nazareth." Here's some pages still turning. Luke 4, 16. Verse 16 says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Verse 20 says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Praise the Lord. Can we just ask his presence in there on the remainder, that God would be near me and on us each one. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness. I ask, God, that you'll begin to move in this place. You've already been here, and we felt your sweet presence flowing amongst us. I ask, God, as we proceed through the rest of this service, dear God, that your presence would be right beside us. We love you, Lord. We give you all glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, my King. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. In our preceding chapters, we've seen the beginning and the birth of Jesus. We've seen in chapter 3, we've seen the coming of John the Baptist, the preaching and the baptism of Jesus. Chapter 4, where we started, or where we're at in this passage, begins with the temptations of Jesus by the devil, and his going out into the wilderness. And verse 16 is where he comes back in. He comes back home, place of that's familiar to him, place that he's from. As it said there, Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, I think that's one of those things that we need to underline. Jesus went back to what was familiar, and he went as his custom was, because custom is that thing, it's a choice. It's different than a habit. He didn't go to the synagogue as was his habit. It wasn't just something natural, but he was intentional in his custom of going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I think it's good, right? It's good to be in church on Sunday. Praise the Lord. So he comes and he's in the place that he desired, he has intention to be. And it says that they delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And he begins to read. He begins to read from the passage found in chapter 61. This passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," which we've heard and it comes up a lot, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind." What awesome scriptures. "To set at liberty them that were bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus had come, and all their attention was focused on him. He was, writers say and theologians have said, that he was in that place, and he was viewed as a learned person of the scripture. And so they came and they offered the book to him to be a reader, and this book passage was open to that. It says, and the custom of that day was the reader would read from that, and then he would begin to explain. He would begin to give them some explanation, maybe teach from that. But it finds that in our scripture here, it says he sat down, and all eyes remained fastened on him. And it's in that point that he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What I think Jesus came that day to tell each one of them was a simple message and the thought that I want to bring across today. Hope is here. He wanted those individuals that were standing there, sitting there, surrounding him to understand that when Jesus read that scripture, he was saying, hope is here. It's the thing that you've been waiting for. We've been without God speaking for 400 years. We haven't seen his presence until John came, the preceding chapter, and he's out there. He's already in jail, in fact. But he went out there, and crowds went out to see him, and he began to tell them to repent. He began to preach to them about repentance and getting living right, because the Messiah was coming. And so the only time that they've heard, the only chance, the hope is just a small spark that's in their life. John has been preaching across, and now he's in jail. What hope they had, what future they saw in John, and his announcing and heralding and introducing the Messiah is pushed to the side. But Jesus comes in, he's been tempted of the devil, and he goes and he reads this scripture. And he says, hope is here. This day, the scripture is fulfilled. Hope is here. And the great news about it is that scripture is just as powerful today as it was back then. For everyone that's come in needing hope, needing an answer, needing a change, hope is here. Hope has arrived. Hope has come for this time. God has come so that he can provide for you an answer. He can provide hope. He can change a situation that looks hopeless into one full of promise. One writer said, hope is that wonderful gift from God. It's a source of strength and courage in the face of life's harshest trials. What's hope? You see, when we have hope, it's when we're trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to the light at the end. When we're overworked and we're exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we're discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we're tempted to quit, hope keeps us going. And when we lose our way and confusion, and this happens so often, doesn't it? It blurs our destination. It's hope that comes in and dulls the edge of panic and allows light to come in. When we struggle with a crippling disease or a lingering illness, it's hope that helps us persevere beyond the pain. And when we fear the worst, it's hope that brings reminders God is still in control. When we must endure the consequences of bad decisions, hello? Hope fuels our recovery. When we find ourselves unemployed, it's hope that tells us we still have a future. When we're forced to sit back and wait, it's hope that gives us the patience, Brother Day, to trust. It's hope that comes when we're forced to sit back and wait. Hope gives us that patience to trust. When we feel rejected, we feel abandoned. Hope reminds us we're not alone. We'll make it. Even when we say, Brother Mike, farewell to the one that we love or someone we love, hope in the life beyond gets us through our grief. Put simply, when life hurts, dreams fade, nothing helps like hope. And that day in that synagogue, Jesus sitting there and their eyes are focused on him and he's saying, hope is here. Hope is here. God hasn't spoken for 400 years. The one that came prophesying of the Messiah, telling you the forerunner, he's in jail. But I've come to tell you this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. What a wonderful message of hope. What a wonderful opportunity for us to look at our life here today and understand that this day the scripture's fulfilled. Whatever we've come in dragging. Brother Mike, you said it's been a long day already when you got here at 9 o'clock. When you came in, understand, Jesus said, hope. Hope's here. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. You don't have to worry about it. Hope is here. Hope's come to give you that encouragement to go beyond for tomorrow. For tomorrow's tomorrow. You are going to make it. Hope is that thing that comes alongside of us. We need hope. Webster's defined hope as the desire accompanied by the expectation or belief in fulfillment. To desire with the expectation of obtainment. And I like this last part he said, to expect with confidence. We sometimes expect, we kind of, and we have a little bit, but when we expect with confidence, that's the true definition of hope. What are you needing Jesus to be today? Expect it with confidence. Expect that answer with the knowledge that Jesus always does what he says he's going to do. Jesus always comes through. No matter our situation, no matter what we're going through, Jesus comes into the scene and fulfills it. That's Jesus. That's what he said that day. That's what we're saying today. Hope is here. Hope is here. Praise God. We've got to get to that point in our life where we understand Jesus came for every one of us. Jesus came for no matter where we're at. I mean, when you look at that scripture and you begin to see what he says, he anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. How many are poor? How many have been poor? Maybe we do it that way. I'll raise my hand. Depending on our, in fact, I've discovered that even the richest man I know always says he could use a little more money. So we've all been to the point where we're poor. Your poor and my poor definitions may be different, but understand, we still think in that term, poor. But Jesus said, I've come to give good news. the gospel. Let me share some good news. Praise God. It doesn't just mean our wealth status, but it means poor in spirit. It means those that are dragging, those that aren't doing as well as they could be. Those that haven't arrived. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still taking it one step at a time. I'm still headed to glory. I'm still trying to get there. So I haven't arrived yet, so I can find comfort in that. But I do know that when God comes in, I've got a precious friend who lives in a town that's smaller than Sandwich. And he says, you know, I've been struggling. He says, I go out there and I'm teaching Bible studies. He's been there about 15, 16 years. Got a beautiful facility. And he says, I give these Bible studies. God brings me people. He said, they are so poor. He said, they're from the hills of Tennessee. He said, and they come crawling out and they come to church and I start teaching them a Bible study. He said, they get the Holy Ghost. They get baptized. I start discipling them. He said, I'm going like, okay, I can build a church now. And he said, wouldn't you know, God starts blessing them. He's right in between Knoxville and Nashville. And there's another town just about twice, three times the size with a little college in it, about 20 miles away. And he says, it's unbelievable. He says, I get them through there. I'm discipling them. He said, they're turning out to be great people. And God gives them a job in Knoxville or Nashville. He says, what am I? The other day he called and said, I am so happy. He said, I got a guy that moved back to town. He's not going anywhere, and I got a Bible study with him. He said, I can keep. But that's what God does. People that are hopeless, people that are poor, God gives them benefits. He blesses their life because they turn it to him. They start doing things right. What better news? Good news. Preaching the gospel to the poor. Praise God. So if you're needing a little more encouragement, understand good news. Hope is here. Hope. Hope is here. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. It was mentioned earlier, there's so many problems and so many things that people are dealing with these days. We could use a little good news, couldn't we? We could use a little good news. And to the brokenhearted, those that are dealing with life, relationship struggles, things that you've said, gotten in your mind, this is what I expect. Got good news. Hope is here. Hope has come today to take care of that broken heart, that place that you're at, that struggle that you're in, those goals that you've set. I like to write things down. I like those lists. The bad part about lists is once it's like speaking something out, you know. Once it's said, you can't take it back. And once you write it down, it's there. It seems like, and now with electronics, you've got it saved in a file, and then you come back through there, and there's that list again. And I can get to that point where I can look at all the dreams and all the goals and all the things I made. I could be very brokenhearted. But understand, God, when I go back now and I look back, and I've gained a little wisdom as I've lost my hair. And looking back, I can see that God has taken me, what I thought were failures, and every one of those, he's made something better. He's bound it up and he's put it together. See, God heals the brokenhearted for wherever we're at, our situations. And he preaches deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. Some of us are bound. Understand, God's here to set you free. Hope is here. That's the message we've got for everybody. It's the best news we can give somebody is hope is here. You don't have to be bound. And in this day and age with our addictions, there's a plethora of those different addictions that people have. It's amazing. I think some people are addicted to hockey. They played last night, didn't they? So everybody's safe? Okay. They won? Oh, they won. Okay. You can tell I'm a Southern guy. We don't have a hockey team in Louisiana. I think they do. They just started a sub, one of the minor leagues. But after I was gone. But some people get so caught up in those different things. It could be work. It could be sports. It could be our kids' sports. And it becomes our addiction that we live those things and we can't get away from them. We always go to the drugs, the booze, you know, all those things that are there. But understand, addictions can take a bunch of different ways and hold us captive. But oh, let me be captive of Jesus. Let him come, because when he comes in, he gives us freedom. He sets at liberty those that are captive. When Jesus stood that day and he read that scripture, he wasn't just speaking, just repeating words from Isaiah. But he was saying, hey guys, this day is this scripture fulfilled. In fact, right after he said that, they looked around and said, they understood what Jesus was saying. Because it says, isn't this Joseph's son? What's he doing? Why is he making this statement? This day. They understood he was declaring. He was putting a post down, a mile marker, a stake there. Then they would have to walk around from that point on. Everybody that was there that day would have to understand that Jesus said, I've come to fulfill this law. I've come to take this law, this thing that Isaiah said, brother. I've come. It's today. It's fulfilled. You don't have to go further. You don't have to wait any longer. Understand, I've come to give you good news. Hope, when he said that, hope is here. Hope is here, and hope is in this place right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus came. He came in to say, hope. Hope is here. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to see it far off. Understand that today, hope is here. It's in this place. We've already felt His presence move. If you needed the confidence, expect with confidence, hope. You come in needing that, understand it's here. With confidence, I can say God is here. Jesus is in this place, and He's come to provide the hope that you need for whatever it is. And I don't care how long we've been in the church, serving God faithfully. If we admit there's a day, multiple days, we're sitting there, we're opening that Bible up, and we're sitting down in our chair or kneeling and saying, God, I really could use you today. God, I really could use you. I just need to feel you, to sense that you're here. And what Jesus said is, hope is here. I've come to bring hope. That's what He's come for. He's come to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Those are words that we can just kind of pass off and say, okay, when Jesus comes, it's time. It's time. It's time. John's in prison. And we turn three chapters to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, verse 18, it says that the rumor, let's go to 17, it says, and the rumor of him, speaking of Jesus, went throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about. Verse 18 says, and the disciples of John showed him, speaking of John, of all those things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And so when the men were coming to him, speaking of Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? That's probably the number one question of every man that's got a need, that's trying and looking for something outside of themselves, that's looking for a Savior. Are you he, or should we look for another? Every one of us have come to that place. Wherever you are, how far, how long you've been following God, there was a point in your life where you stopped long enough to say, is it you, Jesus? Is it you? Or are you the one, or do I look for another? And that's why in our world we have so many people chasing all kinds of dreams. They're looking, oh, where is it? And for some reason, maybe it's because I haven't done enough to promote him, to show him. My wife mentioned about people walking into her office, closing the door and asking for prayer. Maybe that's where somehow we've got to get to that point where people stop us on the street. Say, hey, what is it that's different about you? Why do you have a smile on your face? Why are you able to just take all this bad news and just kind of keep going? Why aren't you getting caught up in the news cycle? You know, we could really have a bad day if we just focused on the news. You just listen depending on, it doesn't matter if you take the liberal news or the conservative news. All of them, they all parrot the same kind of things. They just have a little different take on whose fault it is. But if you sat there and listened, you'd have a heart attack. Just listening to that news and focusing in on it, it would be bad. You'd just be covered up. You'd go find a hole. Because of all the news, and people are looking for answers. That question, are ye he that should come, or do we look for another? I've got to do a better job. That's the best thing I can do is say, you know what? I know the one. I know the one. Let me tell you, hope is here. I can change your perspective. You can now expect with confidence your life to change because hope is here. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to him. Let me show you who he really is. That song we used to sing, let me tell you who Jesus is. The Rock of Ages. Oh, now I'm going to get caught. Yeah, see, y'all, that we could just repeat that those verses to them. And they would go, wow, I need to meet him. Because that's something so different from where I live. What we're saying is hope is here. And in our passage, getting back to Luke 7, we find that after they ask this question, it says, in the same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities, their plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. After he'd done that, it says, then Jesus, in verse 22, answering, said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and you've heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Wow. Are you he, or should we look for another? Those disciples, when they went back to that jail cell, I have to imagine as they'd already said, oh, we've heard about him. But when they came in that day, they said, you know what? This is what we saw, John. We saw the blind begin to see. We saw lame walk. We saw the dead rise. John, you wouldn't believe it. What he did, he healed all manner of people. Devils were subject to him. There was one person, this little one or this old person. They just begin describing all that they saw. And I have to believe that in John's heart, he's sitting in a jail. He doesn't know what his future holds, but he knows it's pretty bad at this point. I've got to believe that there's something starts bubbling up on the inside of him. There starts springing up a hope within him. No longer is he walking with his head down, but he's saying, you know what? That I preached about, that I was called out into the wilderness to declare, he's here. The one whose shoelaces I couldn't begin to latch, he's here. Hope is here. Hope is here. And today, God's come to let you know hope is here. It's in this place. You see, when Jesus enters into our lives, into our situations, things change. Things change. All through the Bible, we find that. When Jesus steps in, the storms on the Sea of Galilee, they're tossed to and fro, and he's asleep in the boat. Jesus, wake up. Peace, be still. The situation's instantly changed. He's going along with this crowd. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Bartimaeus throws his coat off. And he goes to where hope is because Jesus has called for him. And he understands when Jesus comes into the situation, things change. The widows going and wailing and all the processions heading down the road to bury her only son. And Jesus stops them and speaks life into a hopeless situation, a future that looked so bad. He speaks peace and raises that son up. And where there was sorrow, there's now joy. That's what happens when Jesus steps in. Hope is here. Hope has come for every situation. Where are you at? What you're dealing with? How bad is it? I can say with confidence, hope is here. Hope has come. You have to have that expectation of hope. You've got to have hope in your life. You've got to understand who Jesus is. He's not some person that's just gone, somebody that we talk about that's 2,000 years old. But he's the living God incarnate who loved us enough to come and die for us, to rise again and allow us to have him on the inside with the Holy Ghost. That's who Jesus is. Hope is here. You've got to have the expectation. You've got to have it burning inside of you. You've got to have it, that desire going with you. You've got to know that God's here. That God's wanting to do something in your life. He's wanting to change your situation. He's wanting to move into that place where you didn't see a future. And he wants to throw the doors wide and say, walk on through. I've come in. Oh, you've been dealing with sin. You've been dealing with things that have got you bound. Understand, I've come to set you free. I've already paid the price. All you've got to do is avail yourself of it. Just let me reach to you. Reach to me is what he's saying. Just right here, his hands outstretched. I've said it before. He comes to where we are and brings us forward. That's the hope. We don't have to get good to get God, right? We get God to get good. And so that means he comes where we are. The hope is that how many times? I've mentioned, I think, previously that I'm one of those guys that likes to read and do all these, some of this self-help stuff. I like to read because it talks about how you can always do better if you put all this stuff down. And there's a thousand, I mean, that's the biggest section in our bookstores now, is self-help. But all of those talk about things you've got to do and how after 30 days, 6 months, or a year, you can change, whether it's weight loss or new job or whatever it is. All of them take that. But none of them say, you know what, it can be changed in an instant. With Jesus, it's changed in an instant. There's no have to do a work schedule. You've got to fill all these and meet all this criteria. He just says, I'm here. You just have to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And step into to the program he has. Just simply say, hey, I can't do it on my own. I got to have you, God. It's not enough for me to know about you, but I got to have you in me. We got to be able to say, my Lord and my God. It's got to be turned over to him. When we do that repentance, that's when he starts and he meets us where we're at, Brother Killam. He comes in where we're at, right that point, and moves us forward. That's what God is. And so we have to expect hope with confidence. It's vital to it. You see, because without it, prisoners of war, they languish and they die. Without it, students get discouraged. They drop out of school. Fledgling writers, talking about hope. Hope is the part that we've got to have in just so many things we do. Longing to be published, they run out of determination. Addicts return to their habits. Marriage partners decide to divorce. Without hope, our inventors, our artists, our entertainers, entrepreneurs, preachers even lose their creativity. Hope isn't simply just an option for us to help us to get beyond a certain point. It's essential to our survival. And Jesus on that day said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I say this day, this Sunday, today, the 14th of June, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Hope that is essential to your life is here. And you really can't live without it. You really can't go beyond this point. You've got to have hope. You've got to have it in your life. You've got to make it a part of your life. Praise God. You stand. Understand, hope has got to be that thing that comes into us and works with us. The message that John, a question he had, are you he that should come or should we look for another? That has to be answered by every one of us today. Everyone, it should be our daily question. Lord, I look to you. Proverbs 13:12 said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. That's speaking of hope. It's not something we can put off. It is essential. And the time has come for us to put it inside of us. I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. That's who we're talking about. Jesus. Jesus is here. He's come so that every one of us could have hope. Every one of us could walk out of here with a smile and assurance, a confident expectation, if you will, that my day is different. Because you're in it, Lord. Yes. My travels, the things that I go about, my work week, all of it's different because you're a part of my life. It simply means we have to turn it to him. We have to allow him to move in our life. Praise God. Praise God. Can we begin to pray right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for being our hope, for being the one that we can come to, dear Lord. I understand that we have to have hope. We've got to have you, Lord, in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray your presence that I'm feeling right now, that it would talk to our hearts, God. There may be someone here that needs hope, God. I pray that you would begin to speak. Dear Lord, that that flicker, that flame would begin to burn deep within inside of them. Lord, if they've been stepping away, that they'll return to you. Let them understand, God, that hope cannot be deferred, but it has to be their tree of life. It's got to be the thing that begins to grow, dear God. You are our hope. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to understand that without hope, the Bible says we're cut off in Job 8:14. But Paul opened up his first letter to Timothy when he declares that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, which is our hope.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Paul understood his life was nothing without Jesus Christ being his hope. We've got to have that hope in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's got to be something inside of us that grows. Praise the Lord. It's got to be that thing that grows in us. We've got to allow that hope to be a part of us. It's got to have the ability to change us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to invite you down to come pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. If you're needing hope, I encourage you to come down right now. If you're needing to meet Jesus, understand this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This day Jesus has come so that your life can be changed. It doesn't have to remain the way it was. It doesn't have to stay like it was before, but it can be changed this day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe you're aware. Maybe Jesus is already working in your life. Just ask him to encourage you a little more. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I know I need that hope in my life. I've got to have hope inside of me. Praise the Lord. Can we just begin to pray right now to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we need your hope. We need your presence, God. Come into our situations and change them, God. Lord, there's not a one of us. Not a one of us, God, that can make it on our own. We were limited to our abilities, God, without you. We would be, dear God, truly miserable. We'd have no promise, God, but because you're here, because you come this day, I thank you, God, as you give us a changed future, a hope, dear Lord, for a better tomorrow, a better today. God, I thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And when he said Thank you.
Hallelujah. Can we just stand in this place and just thank Him for that? No one can touch us like Jesus. Precious God, His power is moving through this place. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, my King. Thank You, Lord, for being in this place this day. Precious God, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, each one that's come this day. Praise the Lord. I expect God to do continue great things. Praise God.
Yes.
Have a great afternoon. We're going to be back here at 6 o'clock, right?
6 for prayer.
6 for prayer. All right. So remember that. And let's come expecting the move of God tonight. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Share the hope with somebody today.
Hallelujah.
As you're out walking around, let's just be mindful of that.
Hallelujah.
Because you never know. And probably more than we would care to admit, that person beside us, that one that's waiting on us, they're struggling with something, because that's just human nature. Wow. We carry within us their hope.
Yes, hallelujah.
Think about it. Their life could be changed simply by you just sharing your hope. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus, again for this day. I pray Your hand as each one travels home, God, bring them back safe this evening. Thank You, Lord, for Your glory that we've felt in this place. We give You all honor in Your precious name, the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.